welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
First Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 simply yet powerfully says this, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Hallelujah, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for being here. This atmosphere is just loaded with you. Thank you for our precious worship time. Thank you for where we're going this morning. It is all yours. I surrender all to you. I trust you to speak in and through me your word, what you would have us hear this morning, what you would have us drink in. And Father God, as Pastor Ed always says, there's the message that is being spoken from this platform, but there's that individual message that you are molding and shaping into each one of us. And that's what I pray for this morning. Help us, Lord, to each of us, even though we're in a large group right now, help us to find that secret place time with just you. It's just you and me. It's just each person here and you, Father God. Holy Spirit, have your way. We love you. We praise you. We thank you, dear Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to be prepared here so I know what I'm doing. Okay. All right. Okay. So, I'm excited this morning, even though I want to preface it by this. For those of you that know me, you know that I love to laugh. I love to be with people who love to laugh. I am the eternal optimist most of the time. I tend to see... Did you hear my husband laughing at that? I tend to see the glass half full and not half empty. And I like to make things lighthearted. So this message that I've been asked by the Lord to deliver this morning is a little tough for me because it starts out very sobering. He's going to issue a challenge to us this morning, and at the same time, though, I am assured, because I know my Jesus, I know your Jesus, that his wraparound presence will fill and surround us with his hope, his encouragement, his equipping, and his strength as he challenges us this morning. And I want to start out by just briefly recapping last week's message, because it was the perfect segue into today. When I sat in on Pastor Ed's message last week, I'm like, yay, thank you, Lord, because I've been hearing you correctly on where you want to go this morning. Pastor Ed's message last week was the return of Christ. And for those of you that were here, you will remember that there were three points. And again, the return of Jesus Christ, returning for you, returning to faith, and returning with rewards. And for the purpose of this message this morning, I want to zero in on that second point, which was returning to faith. He pointed out Luke 18, and of course that is the parable of the persistent widow. And I'm not going to revisit that parable, but there was a question that Jesus asked at the end of that parable. And he simply asked this, "When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Now, that is an interesting question for today, and I mean specifically today, because today on the Jewish calendar, it is Rosh Hashanah, and which means the Jewish New Year, and it kicks off the fall feasts of the Jewish calendar, and it serves also as a time of reflection and repentance. And as I was kind of looking it up this week, I was in a Messianic Jewish website called The Jewish Voice. And they simply put it this way. The Jewish New Year is about checking in with God for an inventory of our faith and faithfulness. And going on to say that we as Christians can do the same, making this time of year our season of spiritual renewal, our opportunity for a new beginning. Okay, tuck that away. It's going to kind of flow naturally into the message this morning. Pastor Ed also went on in that particular point to point out and remind us that Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. And that's where I went, yes, because that's what I heard, the message, the title this morning. And there it is, a glorious church, glorious, radiant, beautiful, and holy. And then those small little asterisks, healed, whole, restored, strong, and free. Okay, do I have this on? I don't have it on. Yay. Okay, technology. I'm getting there eventually. All right. I know we've got this a little smaller, but this is Paul talking about the glorious church. And I wanted to give you three translations because they were all equally just spoke into this. The first one is from the New King James Version and simply says this: Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. The message says this: Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. The Passion Translation says, for he died for us, sacrificing himself to make us holy and pure, cleansing us through the showering of the pure water of the Word of God. All that he does in us is designed to make us a mature church for his pleasure, until we become a source of praise to him, glorious and radiant, beautiful and holy, without fault or flaw. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I read those passages, and my first thought was, wow, is that even possible, this side of heaven? We look at our world, and words that come to mind are dark and getting darker, chaotic, broken, hopeless, dysfunctional, godless, oppressive, loveless, persecuted, compromised, corrupt, dead, and as it would seem, solidly in the hands of the enemy. It causes many to want to say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Please just come and rescue us. And there is a perspective of many that we should just hunker down and hide out until he comes again. There's just one problem with that. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, and oh boy, are we far from that. It has been said that our world looks as it does in many ways because the church in general looks the same. Sadly, the description of the churches in the book of Revelation could also be used to describe the church today. The guiding light of the church over this world has grown dim. But wait a minute. According to Deuteronomy 28:13, he calls us to be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Ah, but that only happens when we heed the commands of the Lord. So as I pressed into the Lord with this heaviness, he gave me clarity on some things, gave me direction on others, and most importantly, he has given me a whole lot of hope and encouragement to share with all of you this morning as he presents a direct challenge to all of us to be that glorious church, glorious, radiant, beautiful, and holy. First, some clarity. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. He is not coming back to rescue us. Why? Because he already did. You see, if you are a believer, he's already rescued you. And if you are not a believer, that rescue is waiting for you. His rescue took place on the cross. The cross, 2,000 years ago. He suffered terribly the penalty of our sins for us. He took our place on that cross, not only so we would have eternal life with him, but lest we forget, to also have an abundant life here on earth. He died so we could not only have hope for our future, but for the here and now. Remember what John 10:10 says, while Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, I, Jesus, have come that they would have life and that they would have it more abundantly. Remember what he said to the disciples before his death and resurrection. It's better if I go away. And he also said this, John 14:16-18, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. As a believer, his rescue is firmly planted in you because you, me, and I'm going to use you a lot. Please know that I'm including myself. It's just Holy Spirit really wanting to personalize it, speaking to each one of us individually. So I'm not pointing a finger. I'm right there with you, okay? Because you are a temple of his Holy Spirit. His victory is in you. His power is in you. You see, when Jesus first came to earth, he rode on a donkey as a sacrifice to rescue us, to pay our ransom, to get back the keys to the kingdom. He was victorious. And through his victory, the church is victorious. The church is you and me. This was and is our rescue. The price has been paid. So now, when he comes again, he will be seated on a white horse as king, coming back for his bought and paid for glorious church. So what Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning is this. It is time for his church to arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, over me, and his glory will be seen upon you and upon me. For several weeks now, Holy Spirit has had me up in the middle of the night. And that may be because it's just a little busy around our household during the day. But in the middle of the night is my quiet time, my precious secret time with the Lord. And I have been up in recent weeks for hours because I've been pressing in. And he has been just speaking his word to me. And even now as I think about it, I shake because it's just been amazing. And where we're going this morning is he just wants me to share some of these passages with you. So I'm going to be sharing a lot of his scripture because he's going to just speak for himself through his word. But then I'm going to connect the dots on how these passages work together and his challenge for us this morning. So hang in there with me, okay? So about a month ago, again, the middle of the night, I was led to read the book Song of Songs or Song of Solomon. Now, I have to admit, that's not necessarily my go-to book. It's a little more obscure book, and, you know, it's not on my regular reading list. But that night, Holy Spirit gave me a fresh set of eyes for it, and there was a particular passage out of this book that Holy Spirit highlighted, and I wrote it down in my journal. Next night, I'm up in the middle of the night, and I felt led to read a prophetic word from a trusted prophet. Oh, that prophetic word zoomed in on that same passage. Seemingly a little bit more obscure book. I'm reading it one night, and I'm reading it in a prophetic word the next night. Yep, that got my attention. But it didn't stop there. A little over a week ago, I read it again in another prophetic word, different trusted prophet, and again in the middle of the night. I want to share that passage with you this morning, and I'm going to share it with you out of the Passion Translation, because the Passion Translation is just that. It's passionate. But I'm going to ask you, as you're in your secret place time right now, you're going to hear my voice speaking it, but I ask that you hear Holy Spirit speaking it to you, because it's beautiful and it's precious. Here we go. Arise, my dearest. Hurry, my darling. Come away with me. I have come, as you have asked, to draw you to my heart and lead you out. For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended, and the season of hiding is over and gone. The rains have soaked the earth and left it bright with blossoming flowers. The season for singing and pruning the vines has arrived. I hear the cooing of doves in our land, filling the air with songs to awaken you and guide you forth. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. The budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere. The fragrance of their flowers whispers, there's change in the air. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. Then he took me to this passage, again, middle of the night. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. And keep going. This was another night. Now, on this particular night, I felt led to read two passages, one out of Nehemiah and one out of Isaiah 61. And out of those two passages, I felt led, again with my journal, to write down these two verses specifically. And the first one is Nehemiah 4:17, which says this: those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. Nehemiah 4:17. Then it was Isaiah 61:4. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. So wrote those two verses down in my journal. Guess what happened the next night, in the middle of the night? I read another prophetic word. Quoted those two very same verses. The title of that prophetic word was this: we are in a Nehemiah moment, the time of the hammer and the sword. And I need to keep going a little further before we start allowing Holy Spirit to weave this together for us. In and through all of this, what has been ever before me has been Isaiah 61 in its entirety. Susan and I, as we shared a couple of Sundays ago, God took both of us by surprise, literally, and unexpectedly laid out his plan for a new women's ministry here at Door of Life. And it was specific. He wanted it called God Encounters, and he also revealed his heart, his vision to us. It was Isaiah 61 in its entirety. Now, Susan and I both have special connections with this passage, and as our first speaker for our first God Encounters Women's Gathering next month, Susan has already felt from Holy Spirit that she is supposed to be sharing more on Isaiah 61. So I'll leave that with her. But for this morning, I just want to highlight the first verse, and just paraphrase a couple of others. And Isaiah 61:1 says this, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Now, you'll notice the "me" in there is capitalized. Me in this passage is actually referring to Jesus, even though he wasn't even born yet. And Jesus confirms that in Luke chapter 4. When he got up in the synagogue, and he opened up to Isaiah, and he read this very same passage, and then he closed it up, and he sat down, and he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And yes, just paraphrasing other verses out of there, "He came to comfort all who mourn, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, to give double honor instead of shame, to give double portion in the land, to give everlasting joy." And there's so much more in that chapter. I highly recommend it. Go to it as soon as you can for encouragement. So it's upon this then that Holy Spirit is going to start weaving this together for us this morning. This is what he showed me. And Lord, help me to present this as you presented it to me. The same Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus in Isaiah 61, and as Jesus confirmed in Luke 4, is now in us individually and around us corporately. By the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in us and surrounds us, we are now called to pick up where Jesus left off when he went back to heaven. In order that we may become that glorious church without spot or wrinkle, glorious, radiant, beautiful, holy, that healed, whole, strong, restored, free in him church. Excuse me. He's giving us two assignments. And I'm just going to share with you what he showed me. Assignment number one is this. His assignment to each of us in full surrender to him is to move forward into your destiny that has been assigned solely to you. And in Jesus' name, to walk in his authority and cancel any demonic assignments against us, against you. So here's a breakdown of this assignment, again, as he showed me, as he spoke to my heart. I'm going to ask again that as you listen to this, that you just hunker in with Holy Spirit and let him speak to your heart. If you feel any sort of condemnation, reject it, because it's not from Holy Spirit. And if you are sensing that this is a source of freedom for you, grasp onto it, embrace it, because that is the Holy Spirit. So here's what he's asking us to do. Return to your first love, Jesus. Fully surrender to him. Fully being the key word. Fully surrender to him. Repent. Open your Bible and drink in his word, and then trust him that he will keep his word. Trust him for his promises, which are found in his word. Press into him and receive his provision and his vision for you. And from Isaiah 61, allow him and trust him to deeply embed in you his good tidings, his gospel. Allow him and trust him to heal your broken heart, to heal your wounds, your hurts inflicted from others as well as self-inflicted. Allow him and trust him to set you free from oppression, from bondage, from your past, from your failures, from any and all lies of the enemy. Allow him and trust him to replace the ashes in your life with beauty, Allow him and trust him to give you the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. For as a believer, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. So let it go. Let go of the past. You don't live there anymore. Remember his word. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. The bondage of your barren winter has ended. It is over and done with. He wants you to be free and fully surrendered to him. It's why he is saying, come away with me. Oh, it's not to deny the reality of what we're seeing with our natural eyes, what we've experienced in this fallen world. It is, however, with your supernatural eyes firmly fixed on Jesus that you can deny its power over you. It is allowing Jesus to set a beautiful table before you and sit with you and protect you in the presence of your enemies. In a nutshell, it is embracing God's plans for your life and rejecting Satan's plans for your life, all by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. So assignment number one is really for each one of us individually. Now assignment number two is for us to focus corporately as the body of Christ. Assignment number two, we are to be about our Father's business. As we are being healed, restored, made whole, set free from the plots, plans, and lies of the enemy, fully walking out the gift of our salvation, we are called to be his hands, his feet, and his mouthpiece to do the same for others. To help others do the same. We become his faithful church, as described in Revelation. When we are surrendered, we become his conduit to do what he says in Isaiah 61:4. And I'm going to go back to that. It's the bottom verse there. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. You see, this begins first with the church rebuilding its old ruins. It is restoring his truth back to the church. It's a cleansing and equipping of the church in order that we, the church, may bring forth his truth to this broken world, to repair the ruined cities, that all may know Jesus and the truth that sets us free, healed, whole, restored, strong in him, and free. It's to do what he says in Nehemiah 4:17. Those who built on the wall, those who carried burdens, loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction, with the other had a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. That sword, that's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, as told to us in Ephesians 6. Building his kingdom, taking back from the enemy what is rightfully ours. It's a hammer in one hand, and it's a weapon in the other, with the sword of the Spirit at our side. Remember 2 Corinthians 10 says, for the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God, for tearing down strongholds, tearing down the old ruins, that which is of the enemy, while building up that which is of our King, King Jesus. For in doing so, we prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It's his word. Thank you, Father. For in doing so, we will be the faithful church. So when Jesus asked that question, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? In some good old Midwestern jargon, you bet he will. You bet he will. King Jesus, you will. Your will. For in doing so, we, through the power of Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, we are preparing the way for the church by the power of the Holy Spirit, again, to be glorious. To be glorious, radiant, beautiful, holy, and healed, whole, restored, strong, and free in Him. As Jesus said, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock. Do not fear, little flock, door of life. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. So once again, I highlighted out of this beautiful passage, out of Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, whichever you prefer, Jesus is saying to us, come away with me. For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended, and the season of hiding is over and gone. The season for singing and pruning the vines has arrived. It's to awaken you and guide you forth. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. There is change in the air. Run with me to the higher place, for now is the time to arise and come away with me. He has a blueprint for your life and for mine, and we need to follow that blueprint. God needs you to be who He created you to be, you individually. He needs you to do what He's calling you to do. And for all of us, that looks very different. It's about running our own race, not looking in the next lane. It's running the race that God has set before you. Because He's calling for us, the church, to come up higher, to be the glorious church He is coming back for. Glorious, radiant, beautiful, holy, and healed, whole, restored, strong, and free in Him. Hallelujah. I'm going to close by I just needed to read this out of my own Bible this morning. Again, this is Holy Spirit speaking to each one of us this morning. It's in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 33 through 36. And it truly is Him speaking, because it starts out by saying, thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, oh man, we love you. Father God, I trust you. I trust you. I love you. I lay down my life before you, Father God. I pray that you are speaking to each one of us individually this morning, Lord. Paring down, rising up. Making the crooked places straight, the rough places smooth. Father God, you're coming back for a glorious church. We want to be that glorious church. And we know we have some work to do. But praise God, we don't even have to do that alone. It's just you helping us press into what you've already given us. You've already rescued us. Help us to live as rescued people. Thank you, Father, for your rescue. And it wasn't just a rescue to survive, to hunker down and wait for you to come again. It was a rescue to thrive right now, here and now, letting go of the old, living as a new creation. For as you have told us, the old has passed away. Let it go. Forget the former things. Because you're doing a new thing. And today, Rosh Hashanah, it's a day of new beginning. And we press into that. Today, you are faithful. You tell us that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So if we stumble today, you will help us get back. And tomorrow, we don't have to look back on today. We can just look forward. We can live in the present, soak in the hope of the future. But that you promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Your rescue 2,000 years ago was for our eternity, but it was also for our present. You want us to get this because you want us to live free. Free in you. Free of the garbage that the enemy would try to heap on us. Help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And total discernment of what is of you and what is not of you. If it's got guilt, shame, or condemnation written over it, help us to recognize it right away and to reject it in the name of Jesus. If it's got life and life more abundantly written all over it, we know it's from you. If it has freedom, freedom in you written all over it, help us to walk in it, Lord, to embrace that which you've already provided for us and to also take up our authority. We don't have to answer to the enemy. I know, Pastor Ed, Father God, I know that you've downloaded into him, and he has so often said to us that when that argument or that stuff is going on in our brain, that we can just say, stop, in the name of Jesus. I don't need to bring anything. I don't need to clarify that confusion. I can just reject it in the name of Jesus. I reject confusion. I call forth your clarity. I call forth your grace, your mercy, your peace, your love, your forgiveness working in and through us. Help us to be an open conduit, Father God. Help us, the church, to go out and be the church, taking your word, taking your good news to the ends of the earth. Oh, not in and of ourselves, but in joy. In you, Holy Spirit. In the fruits of the Spirit, Father God, that you've placed within each one of us. Even in our darkest moments, we have your joy. Oh, it's not denying the stuff. It's just denying its power. Because you live in us. We are a temple of your Holy Spirit. Oh, Father God, the plans and purposes you have for us. Help us to start walking them out right this minute in a whole new way. Help us to meet you where you are at. I know so often I pray, oh, meet us where we're at. Nope. It's not asking you to come alongside us. It's us being obedient and coming alongside you. That your plans, that your purposes will be fulfilled in each one of us and each one of us together as the church. Glorious, radiant, beautiful, holy, healed, whole, restored, strong, and free in you. Oh, we love you, Lord. I bless each person here this morning. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them beyond measure. I know you want to. Help them to accept that precious gift of you and your blueprint for each one of us, because we know it's good, because you are good.